Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And even though the beaches are closed, Lois and I are still lying on the beach. And all of us are now working from home, stuck at home. It's never been more important than right now to become digitally focused. And to talk more about that, we have with us the one and only Shelley Palmer. Shelley was named LinkedIn's top voice in technology. He is CEO of the Palmer Group, a consulting practice that helps Fortune 500 companies with technology, media, and marketing. He's also the co-host of Think About This on the Westwood One podcast network. He covers technology and business for Good Day New York, writes a weekly column for Adweek, and appears frequently as a commentator on CNN and CNBC. And Shelley, thanks so much for joining us lying on the beach, even though the beaches are closed. And my first question, they are closed. First up, I have to ask how you're doing in the age of Corona. And my real first question is, what do you think of the way this self-quarantine experience will change the way we work forever? When this is past us, is this going to change it, or are we going to go back to our old ways? What are your thoughts? And then take it from there.
Oh, well, thanks, first of all, for having me. I'm fine. We're all fine and safe, very luckily, and I'm glad to report that, and I'm hoping it stays that way. I think that's the biggest question. Is this going to stay? People at Procter & Gamble will tell you that anything you do for 21 days in a row, on the 22nd day, it's a habit. And I've been up here in self-quarantine and exile. We're in Vermont. We've been here, I think it's 19 days now. So in 3 or 4 days, we will have muscle memory about the way we're living right now. I don't know whether we go back. I assume we do, because human beings are very social and we are all social animals. But I think that's a question that's up for grabs right now. Are we or are we not going to revert to with the pre-corona days? I just don't know the answer to that. I don't think.
Do you think we're going to take some of this and incorporate it into the old normal when we go back to normal again? Will we incorporate the way we've learned to work out
absolutely.
Of our homes and whatnot, you think?
Absolutely. One of the most remarkable things that's happened in the last 2-3 weeks is that many sacred cows that we really didn't think were ever, ever going to die have passed away. What I mean by that is I wanted my doctor to video conference with me for years. I wanted my doctor to answer emails or text messages. And because he did not get a copay from the insurance company when he did a telemedicine event or answered an email or answered a text message, he required me to come into the office. And the official story was, well, there's no chain of custody and I don't have security over the data. And we're not prepared to do that, so we can't do any of this. Meanwhile, it took 30 seconds. 2 weeks ago for the doctor's office to call me and say, you know what, we don't want you to come in for your visit. The doctor will be available on FaceTime. I was like, oh, wow,
exactly.
Okay, that's fantastic. So that was never going to change, and it changed overnight. So that's not going to go back, because I'm not going to tolerate it going back. Next time I need to have a quick conversation with my doctor, he's going to answer this email, or I'm going to FaceTime him, because if he can do it now, we can do it then. I think we're going to see that happen in education, where all of a sudden there's a lot of work that can be done from home. There's a lot of work that can be done where you're doing the equivalent of homework or group study in chats. I also think Congress has worked really hard to figure out how they're going to either vote by email, vote by phone, or actually become a Congress of the United States in some kind of video conferencing environment. Now, I was president of the Emmys for 4 years a while back, and that organization I was in for 35 years, we spent 3 years trying to get the board to allow email voting because everybody wanted a quorum in person. So I know what the pain is like, just institutionally, from institutional muscle memory. This goes back now a decade, but nobody was willing, literally willing, to vote by email. And it wasn't because we didn't have email and everybody wasn't on it every day. It's because nobody wanted to give up that power, the ability to caucus, the ability to buttonhole someone in the hallway and, you know, in a break to be able to get them to do something. Hey, all that ended like last week. Every meeting is virtual. So I don't know that we're ever going back. Am I going to buy a plane ticket to London twice a month now to see people when now even the least technologically savvy executive can press a button on their desktop and I appear on their desktop? Are they going to really want to spend $11,000 for a round-trip ticket on British Airways, assuming British Airways is still in business? I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff is going to change. These are sacred cows. They weren't, you know, oh, we have to have a meeting in person. Really? I have to get on a plane to spend 12 hours in London? And the answer to that was, yeah, twice a month for like 8 years. Well, I haven't been to London since this started for my London clients. And not one of them has even mentioned the idea that they want to pick that up again. Because everybody's now very comfortable doing, people who were scared of their computers are now just on them every day. So I think there's a lot of things that will change. By the way, we're human and we're social. And so I can't imagine that some version of socialization doesn't come back stronger than ever. We haven't been able to go to restaurants. We haven't been able to go to concerts. We haven't been able to do things we love to do. That's not going to go away. People are going to figure that out. We're going to figure it out again. And yeah, there'll be some virtual versions of it. But I can't imagine human beings fundamentally not acting human when this is over. It's going to be a short-lived thing. I certain things will be changed forever. Is the movie industry going to live through this? I'm 50-50 that theatrical releases will all be theatrical. NBC, Universal broke the mold on some of their minor movies a week or so ago, but they pushed out Mission Impossible and they pushed out the James Bond movie for a while, a release date, because they're hoping that people will be able to go to the theaters. I'm not sure that motion picture theaters have a right to exist in the age of home theater, in the age of 4K and 8K, in the age of high bandwidth networks, because that technology existed when people couldn't get those services in their home. TV didn't kill it because people at the movie industry kept saying, oh, everyone loves a shared experience. Really? You love paying $50 for popcorn and a soda and sitting next to people who are talking and texting in a movie you really want to see? You want to explain that to me again? So that's just the industry talking to itself.
Shelley, I totally agree with you, and I think Steve agrees with you, because we have been, even though, you know, we go on lots of trips, business trips and pleasure trips, we also have been living the virtual world for like 4 or 5, maybe even more years. So none of this is really new to me. What is new to me is the reaction from people from around the world that I deal with, because all of a sudden they're discovering the things that the three of us know for years. So all of a sudden I'm watching, you know, theater, concerts, online lectures, people are using Zoom more just to see their family. You know, they're all like amazed that such technology exists, but it's been around for a while. What is your attitude towards friends and family or business people that are like just discovering this now? I mean, how do you get them to engage, you know, the digital world? I still have trouble getting people to read magazines and newspapers digitally. They're still picking it up from their front door.
Well, look, I don't think we have to work that hard to get people to do this. I'm not in any way worried about adoption. Necessity has always been the mother of invention. And so there's no doubt in my mind that over time, this will all figure itself out. And people want to function in the world, right? They just do. And they're going to. I have no doubt in my mind. I don't have an attitude towards it. We're just trying to help everybody get done what they need to get done. This is a very scary time for a lot of people. And I think you have to acknowledge in every way that this is not business as usual. There's nothing about today that's the same as it was 4 or 5 weeks ago. And because of that, people are being asked to do a lot of things that are new, really new, not just get involved with their computers, not just become, you know, video savvy or technologically savvy or video conferencing savvy. That's the least of it. We're cooped up in places we haven't been cooped up in. And no matter how beautiful your home is, no matter how beautiful the prison is that you're in, it's still a prison. Right. Can't do the things you want to do. We can't hang out with the people we want to hang out with. The simple pleasures in life, which just getting together for dinner with friends, is not allowed to be done right now, not safely. And so to add the anxiety on top of that, no. Our attitude, both corporately and personally, is one of offering a helping hand and doing everything we can to, I don't know how to say this, that's not egotistical, in quotes, save the world one person at a time, unquote. So what we're doing is, what I'm doing is running some workshops on on weekends. Sundays from 2 to 3, I do a work from home workshop. This week we're going to talk about video. Last week we talked about your setup. Next week we'll talk about something else. It'll be every Sunday until they don't need to do it anymore. On Wednesdays, I have a Socratic discussion from 3 to 4 p.m., also on Zoom. And it's usually just about a big topic. And the goal isn't so much to solve for a given problem. The goal is to put people in a room together so they know that they're together. This will evolve, right? We had like 180 people in last week's Socratic discussion. It's way too many to have a discussion. You can't have a discussion with 180 people. But I think people just wanted to get together and look at each other. I think everybody wanted to page through on Zoom 50 thumbnail sketches at a time and see that everybody was okay and just understand that people were there and available to talk. This will end up being 48 people or 12 people or 24 people on a given subject with a real set of goals and real incentives and real alignment and, you know, real action items. But that's for later. Right now, everybody's learning how to do this. And so what I'm trying to do is provide not only some tips and techniques, but also some environments where you could put on training wheels and no one's going to judge you for messing up, because people are going to mess up. It's really quite remarkable. I'll say something else too. My wife goes to the gym every day for either 1.5 or 3 hours every day. It's what she does in the morning. She gets up at an hour that cannot be mentioned with a straight face, but puts on her workout clothes and goes. And she takes either 1 or 2 classes. And every day. And she's in amazing shape. Now, of course, when we came up here to Vermont a few weeks ago to get out of New York because of the coronavirus, she couldn't do that. And all the gyms were canceled and she was working out by herself. But about 7 days ago, her favorite instructor figured out how to use Zoom. And every day this week, she has been in an 1.5-hour class with 30 of her friends on Zoom doing everything they do. Jumping up and down, and she's got some weights, and where she didn't have weights, she got some. She improvised everything she needed. They all did, and they're all in. It was funny to watch some of them. And yes, I had to help her for a minute, but you'd be surprised. Like I said, necessity is the mother of invention. My wife, who's not particularly technologically savvy, is a technical monster when it comes to two things: getting pictures of my granddaughters up on Facebook, and getting into her gym class in the morning with her gym friends. Nothing technologically stands in her way because she's motivated to get it done. And I think that's the story that everyone's going to tell. They're motivated to get it done. And in a little bit of time, this is just going to be straight up muscle memory. It'll be habit. And I'm not worried about whether someone knows what to do when Zoom breaks or when Slack doesn't work or when FaceTime doesn't work. Everyone's going to figure out what they need to do to get this done. It's people are like that. They adapt. And I'm very positive and optimistic.
Shelley, I totally agree with you. And I have several friends who have daily appointments to do yoga as part of a Zoom class. I went on a meditation walk last night, which a whole bunch of people from all over the country went to. You kind of all met them, and then they had this video of a walk, and you kind of like, and there has some pretty music, and there's some guy talking to you a little bit. It's just a nice way to kind of feel like you're out in the real world. So I do agree that I think that's going to become, at least temporarily or maybe going on forward, the new normal. And I'm getting a kick out of when you do these Zooms. First of all, you want to see how everyone's doing, like how are they looking? Are they like they seem healthy, but seeing their background, seeing where they are in their home, it just gives you a little bit of insight into how things are going. And again, you don't feel so alone. You get to connect with human beings, maybe not the way we used to, but it's still a connection. So I think that's definitely what it's going out. Now, Lois, you were talking about how so many people that you know are tech disabled, and they're not able to learn Zoom and whatnot, which of course is pretty simplistic. What have you been doing to kind of help turn that around? Or do you think it's an impossibility for some people? What were your thoughts?
Well, I thank you for introducing me back into this conversation again, because while I really admire Shelley's, you know, and evangelistic ways in terms of like getting everybody, you know, to think positively, I'm experiencing a lot of frustration with people that have the wrong attitudes, that are closed down on what they say they can do during this time because they don't want to face up to their technical abilities and get people to help them. Or I get on a Zoom call, and let's say there's five of us on it, and the leader gets a phone call on his or her cell, and she takes it, and the rest of us are sitting there waiting for that phone call to be over. I mean, I face a lot of stuff. Maybe I just am much more of a negative person, but since I've been living this life for a long time, I have little patience for people that don't want to cure what's ailing us now. And I would just like, and also, Steve, as you know, a lot of our young friends have lost their jobs because it was all digitally oriented, you know, startups, you know, people that, you know, had companies that they raised millions of dollars for an Instagram startup, you know, no longer in existence. So I'm just wondering where the world is going to go based on that. Shelley, have any thoughts about that?
You know, I do, Lois. I feel like there's a there are two sides to this story. Sure, there are people who are unwilling to change. And if you want to learn exactly how they do historically, read any history book about the potato famine in Ireland. These are potato eaters. They lived on an island surrounded by water, plenty of fish. They all died of starvation because they couldn't farm potatoes. That's a very shorthand story. It's probably apocryphal in some ways and may not be fully historically accurate, but the metaphor is correct. If you are set in your ways and you're unwilling to change, Darwin wrote a book in 1859 called On the Origin of Species by Natural Selection, by Means of Natural Selection. And it is the definitive work on the theory of evolution. He did it without the knowledge that DNA existed. It wasn't discovered till long after he wrote this book and did the science to come up with the theory. And people often look at that book and they shorthand it. The thesis of that book in shorthand is survival of the fittest. I'm sure you've heard that before. And if you read the book, that is not what it says. Don't say anything like that. What it says is, if I needed to shorthand it, survival of the most adaptable. You can be very strong, but a meteor can come and kill you. You can be very strong and you can do something really stupid. But when you are adaptable, when you're able to take external forces and adapt to them, then you survive to pass on your genes. And that is the absolute theory of evolution. You are here to pass on your genes to the next generation. And so in order for us to survive, we do not need to be strongest right now. We need to be most adaptable. And those who will not adapt are going to pay a very dear price. So you can be set in your ways as you want, and the world will not, in normal cases, it'll just pass you by and you'll just become a bitter old person. Now you're going to become a bitter old person who's incredibly poor, outcast, and possibly at tremendous risk. So I don't suggest that you don't adapt to this particular reality, because this one is an external force that is impacting everyone, not just you. It's not like, oh, well, you know, I don't like the music anymore. I'm getting out of the music business. Oh, I don't like the way the organization is, or, you know, all these young kids are blah, blah. No, this is not curmudgeon-y stuff. This is an external force that is leveling the playing field. And what it tells us, or what it shows us, is that the playing field, A, has never been level, and B, isn't level now. People with more skills, specifically different skills than you think you need, are doing incredibly well. And people who don't have those skills are really struggling right now. So there's two ways to approach it. You can either A, let it wash over you and think it's going to blow over. It won't. Not this one. This one's changing the way we behave for real. Or B, you can go online and for free go to YouTube or Google or any one of a million resources and inject yourself in the process and spend 10 minutes. You're not an idiot. You're a human being who's been to school. You know enough to know that you don't know enough. Awesome. It's all available online for free. You don't have to go take a class with someone. You don't have to pay for it. There is not one thing you need to know that we're discussing about how to work from home, how to prosper in this environment, how to have enough technology. No matter if you have a smartphone, you have a video studio in your hand. You don't need any more than that. There are five things you can download. Extend your arm, stand facing a window, and start talking to someone on video. It's done. You're now a video conferencing expert. That's all you need to know. Is it going to be the best picture ever? It will be enough. And if you're not willing to do even that, then I can't help you.
So, Shelley, don't you think that people like you that employ people, or, you know, or other people that work with others are going to form opinions about people that they never had before during this epidemic?
You know, that's as old as time itself, Lois. Of course people will form opinions, rightly or wrongly, good or bad. That's what people tend to do. I'm not an advocate of that kind of silliness, and I'm not a fan of the way that this tends to happen. People get scared and they get judgmental, and this is a tough time. This is stressing everything we know about what it means to be human, what it means to be part of a community. This is stressing everything we know about everything we know. So I'm not one to pass judgment on people, and I'm not anxious to even acknowledge that that's a thing right now, other than to say, look, these are trying times, and the best way to get past it is to do what we naturally would want to do, which is open up the tent, open up your arms, help those in need, and hope that the kindness is repaid when you need it. To act any other way than that is outside of my worldview. I don't allow it in my corporation. I don't allow it in my purview. I call it out when I see it. And I'm not above anyone, and I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm simply saying that now is not a time for that. Now is a time for two things: calm and leadership. We can all be scared out of our minds. You can be scared and you can be calm. Fear isn't necessarily debilitating. You can just, turn it into something else. So if you're scared, great. Turn it into a kind of very focused calmness. And then you need to lead, because everyone around is looking for leadership. And to be a leader, you need only one follower. Now, that follower could be you, or it could be your friends, or it could be your family. To be a leader, you need one follower, but you do need to lead. And so if you're leading people into panic, then that's what they're going to do. If you're leading people into fear, then that's what they're going to feel. If you lead people into calm and resolution, then they will be calm and resolute. And right now, that's what we need. People who are calm and resolute, trying to solve problems, literally the problems as they show up. I have a favorite quote from the movie The Martian. And it's a little bit weird to be quoting a piece of fiction, if you will, in the midst of all of this, right? Because that's kind of a weird thing to do. We don't have a lot of fictional characters or fictional writing that is as profound as it needs, we tend to make it. But in this case, I think it is one of the most profoundly important fictional lines ever written, with respect to its relevance to our position today. It's from the movie The Martian, and Matt Damon plays a character called Mark Watney, who's stranded on Mars. And the quote is a really interesting quote. He's in a lot of trouble because he's by himself on a very hostile planet in a very hostile environment. And the quote is, "So, in the face of overwhelming odds, I'm left with only one option. I'm going to have to science the shit out of this."
That's great.
That is great. And Shelley, speaking of science and adaptability and reducing fear, one thing I should mention is our sponsor, which does all of those things. It's the Handle Stick. It's this must-have phone accessory that adds stylish jewelry and usability to your smartphone. So even in these trying times, and especially because you're conferencing on your phone and whatnot, you really want a great way to hold that case. The Handle Stick does all that. You can attach it directly to the phone case or directly to the phone. It utilizes this really cool brace system and effortlessly lets you grip the phone. So whether you're speaking, texting, selfies, conference calls, it feels like the phone is literally floating in your hands. Handle allows for a complete one-handed use of your phone, so you can multitask. And Handle also has a kickstand that lets you set up the phone for both landscape and portrait mode. So again, perfect for those video conference calls. And yes, you can wirelessly charge through the Handle Stick. It comes in more than 40 styles, including animal prints, lots of colors, fun glitter, even sophisticated carbon fiber patterns. The Handle Stick starts at just, get this, Shelley, $10. So check it out at Handle New York, H-A-N-D-L, New York, spelled out, .com. HandleNewYork.com. And we couldn't do Lying on the Beach and talk to Shelley without them. So thank you, Handle, very much for helping us out and hopefully helping you out in your next video conference call. Shelley, I think we've had some great information here. Lois, do you have anything you want to add or ask?
No, Shelley, is there anything that we haven't asked you that you think we should have touched upon?
The only thing that I want to leave you with, Lois, is that there is no silver bullet when it comes to any of this. Nobody, including myself, has any answers. None of us have any high moral ground on this one. We're all in this together. And I think the most important part of this is to recognize that even though we're all isolated, we have to work harder to collaborate, and we have to work harder to get together. It is the random acts of kindness. It is the self-help. It is the quest for knowledge that makes us who we are. And so if you're bored at home today or angry or mad, today's a great day to learn something new. And it's a perfect time to reach out to someone that you don't normally reach out to. It's a perfect day to do a lot of things that have been on the back burner. And that is sort of where I'm at. And I hope everybody else gets there too. Shameless plug for my own stuff. Go to ShellyPalmer.com. And there's a newsletter you can subscribe to. There's a bunch of resources for working from home and dealing with the crisis on a business level. It'll make you able to do business in a better way. All of the stuff is free. And it's going to stay that way. A bunch of meetings and conferences you can get on in virtually, and the instructions on how to do so are quite simple. So visit ShellyPalmer.com, subscribe to the newsletter, join us at conferences. And one last thing, we put together a small social network called PGX. You can find it at pgx.tech, T-E-C-H, so pgx.tech. It's a private social network. If you're listening to this, there's a very good chance that you're the right kind of person to come and join it. Well, it's private not because we're trying to be exclusive. It's private because it's just about thought leadership and trying to discuss in a Socratic way all of the problems that we are facing in business and personally. It's the anti-Facebook, the anti-Twitter, the anti-LinkedIn. There is no politics. There are no ads. There's no promos. There's no selling. And we absolutely don't tolerate anything that resembles foul language and or attacks on human beings. It's always open season on ideas at PGX. It's never open season on people. So we hope you'll come and join the Socratic debates on the topics you care the most about. And that's pretty much it, guys. I hope you're well and safe.
I'm a little disappointed. Because Lois can't join PGX because of the no foul language thing, but otherwise,
I'm a member. It's too late. I got it in the first go around.
Because there will be foul language if she's around. But Shelley,
sure.
Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and I hope our listeners are as well. And you're always been a terrific resource, so I hope people will turn to you with their questions. And I think we're set. Correct, Lois?
Absolutely.
Okay, so once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And we have been Lying on the Beach. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.